I was on my phone this morning on the way here posting about, you know, the glory of God and having the chance to talk about the good news and the fact that the ice is off the sidewalk. Thank you, Jesus. but you know how Facebook, if you've ever been on there, they'll say, here's your memory from 2015 or 2016. So the scene comes up for this day last year, and I was talking about how flat I felt, how, you know, just out of motivation, and that this time of year is really hard for me, and it has ever been that way. It's always a slog. You know, this cold, dreary stuff, I'm so not into that. The holidays, the major holidays are over. We've got Easter, but, you know, somewhere the Easter bunny is slogging it through a snowdrift right now. And, you know, taxes are coming up. It's one of those, eh. And I think this year it's been a little bit more difficult because the election was so nasty. I just felt like I needed to take a shower after all that mudslinging, all of that stuff. And finally, here is your sacrilegious fact for the day on this Super Bowl Sunday. I've got news for you. I don't know about football. I don't care about football. I have lived with a man who loves the game for 40 years. You know, and I know it's pathetic, but when John Elway retired, that was the extent of my knowledge, you know, and I kind of got back on track with Peyton Manning, but, you know, he's out of the picture now, so it's like, yeah, nada, yet, nope. I get bogged down. Anybody get bogged down this time of year? It's hard. It really is. Let's look at the other side of the coin. Most of my adult life has been governed by the academic calendar. When my kids were in school, Dave went to school through our daughter's early life. We had holidays and seasons, and then the kids get into school. And, you know, at one point we had one in elementary, one in junior high, one in high school, and I had started back to school by that time. Life is just crazy. And then let's move from undergrad work into seminary and throw in the church calendar in on top of that. And so you get to the place where you can feel overwhelmed. And sometimes when I get overwhelmed, I tend to kind of put the brakes on and step back. So you can have that idea of being stuck, and then you can be like the person at the top of the roller coaster, and you're coming in and you're thinking, oh, break, 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 break. And then let's throw in a few things that you can't even think about. You know, the things that happen unexpectedly, the death of a family member, the loss of a job, somebody's health crisis. And it can really, really throw you off track. And I don't know about you, but when my life gets like that, I tend to be one of these people that I go, my spirit animal is a prairie dog. So I'm alarm, 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 and then I run over and I stomp out this fire. And then it's like, whoa, alarm, 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 back over here. That's the way I operate when it gets so crazy. And although it rarely, if ever, happens for me, I really crave that sense of having a routine, you know, being able to kind of think to the next thing on the calendar. And then we turn that over and it's like, you dang well better be careful what you pray for, you know. It amazes me how you can go from this sense of, okay, I've kind of got time to breathe, I've got my routine, to being absolutely off the track. Did any of you get out in the ice storms this week? Yeah. There were a lot of people investigating the fields this week. Did you see that? Off the road, through the fences, you know. So you can go from that feeling of, okay, got it, to being then stuck. We're stuck in a rut. Now, I think all of us get in those places in our lives. It's not unique to me or any of us in this profession even. But we can get that sense of being stuck. Same old thing, day in and day out. Like the videos, you know, the remote. That's a precious commodity in our house. You get the remote, sole control of the remote is a big deal. You know, pause and rewind and replay, and then you get stuck again. And then if the DVD player goes out, oh, Lord, what a mess. But the truth is, all of us have to find a way to get past stuckness. How's that for a word? Stuckness. A rut. The sense of, I just can't hardly, I can't want to. I don't want an adult today. Anybody? I don't want an adult today. Yeah. But we have to be willing. We have to find that motivation somehow to step into God's dream for us. I like to think of God's dream for us rather than God's plan for us. Because I think God has created and is creating. God's an active part of all of this whole process of our living. I want to go back and kind of do a little bit of an overview of our liturgist reading this morning. Now, we have a scene where Jesus is coming out of the 40 days in the desert. His public ministry is beginning, so he has gone into the desert. He knows that it is time for him to think deeply, to pray deeply, to talk to his dad, to kind of get a sense of where things are going to prepare for this huge step in his life. So he's come out of that. He's been fasting, tried and tempered in the desert. He has been baptized by John, anointed by the Holy Spirit. And then he moves into the next phase of his ministry. And it's not to plan a potluck. It's not to sit down and write a brief. It's not any of those things. The very first thing he does, and I think it's very interesting to note, is he goes down to the wharf. He goes down to the docks. And he starts talking to the fishermen there. You know, come with me. Summoning these people, come on, follow me. These guys were busy. They were busy. They knew what they were doing. And yet James and John, what did it say in the reading? They immediately dropped their nets and said, okay, I'm with you. I'm going to follow you, ready and willing and able to follow. I don't know about you guys, but that bends my brain. You know, it just bends my brain. These people had wives and children and lives and businesses. And when Jesus said, come on, they were ready to follow. Now, I want to connect this idea of dropping everything with the idea of the remote. Sole control of the remote. The wand of control. When you look at that remote, look at all of the words on there. I don't know. I was looking at that the other day. Now, when I was a kid, the only remote you had was one of your folks saying, okay, turn the channel. And if it started getting snowy on the screen or you're having trouble with the antenna, it was like, stop, right there. You know, and you were in on that one. We didn't really have a remote. Us kids were the remote. We had three channels. Ha, ho, hum. You familiar? But you look at the remotes now, and you have all of those things. Up arrows, down arrows, all of that. Search, mute, pause. Pause is my favorite. Pause because that's what we use if we're in the middle of a program and nature calls. Everybody knows that. But I am among the most technologically challenged people in the whole universe. You can't beat me. None of you can. And I'm embarrassed to admit this, it was 4 years after we moved here to Longmont before I realized what this on-demand thing was. 4 years before I realized that I could watch something on demand. And now we have Netflix. What? And that's only since Thanksgiving, you know? And yes, for all of you smart alecks, I do know what watching Netflix and chilling is. That is a euphemism. My smart aleck children have told me what that means. So I am so cool, I can hardly stand myself. So I digress here. I want to connect this idea of coming to Jesus when you're called. And bear with me on that. I think the trouble for some of us is that we can push the pause button in our life without even realizing it. It can be a subconscious thing. You know, that thing is like, holy smokes, here it comes. I'm going to pause, take a step back, and get behind in line. I'm going to look at this for a while. I have to look at this. I have to consider this and all of that. You know, perhaps we're just in a place where we're confused or we're anxious. Perhaps we don't have that insight or spiritual maturity that we need to get on with God's dream. God wants us to be the best version of ourselves that we can be. We are to model ourselves after Jesus Christ. We know that up here, right? But when you're dealing with it here and when you're getting so confused and overwhelmed, sometimes it's just like, holy cow, pause, you know? And you hit the button and you don't even realize you've done it. In October 2016, a film came out called Risen. And this is a new take on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it deals with what happens when you have a Roman tribune. Now, I had to do this. I paid for my daughter's education, so I called her up. And it's like, okay, Megan, I need to know about ancient Rome. All right, so we have this guy that's a tribune. Now, we've heard of a legion. You've heard of a legion of soldiers, right? A legionnaire, that kind of thing. A legate commanded a legion, okay? 3,000 men. And under that legate rank, you had six tribunes. So this guy was a tribune in this movie. So I was like, okay, this is boring. I don't know what the heck you're talking about. Can you give me some kind of broad strokes idea that would connect this rank with something today? And so here's what she came up with. Mom, imagine that the governor calls, and he calls in the National Guardsmen, and you have 250 National Guardsmen, more or less. And their commander is told to investigate a street preacher. But on top of that, there's the provision and just the general acceptance that they can rape somebody, beat somebody, torture them, or kill them without any consequences, or very, very few consequences. Now, the new perspective on this story that I am talking about is from the viewpoint of Clavius. And Clavius is the tribune that's sent out to investigate what has happened with this Yeshua, with Jesus. There are rumors that he has risen from the dead. And he's sent out to look into this. And you have Pilate sending him out, saying, I want you to look into this guy and see what you need to do and close this down, shut this down. Do what you got to do, get this guy out of my hair, I'm done. So, you know, very often when we're talking about these kind of movies, some of my family gets into this thing. Not my kids necessarily, but I've got several very bright cousins who are, you know, into communications and all of those kind of things, journalism, and they get a little skeptical about some of this churchy stuff. But I was talking with my cousin, and he said what impressed him. He says, I like that it portrayed the disciples as happy, as transformed, as overjoyed, as elated and curious and excited. How often do you get the impression that some churches are about the most grim people that you have ever been around? Yeah, I want to join that. Let's go. Grim and martyred and put upon and negative. You know, and I'm a Christian. Well, yuck. You know, I don't want to be a part of that. But here you have in this whole system where people could die just at the drop of a hat. People who are willing not only to move into it with reservations, but to jump in with both feet and be excited and curious and interested in what the next steps in their lives are going to be. So it's a good film. I'd encourage you to check it out. See what you think. You know, we've gathered this morning, as we do every Sunday, and basically my idea when I stand up here and I'm talking to you is to give you one thing, maybe one idea. Today it's kind of a challenge. I'm throwing down the gauntlet, and I want you to do, and me to do, the hard work to take those next steps to get yourself unstuck, wherever that is in your life. We're all been there, done that, you know. And remember that what Jesus taught and teaches and told and lived, folks, that's transformative. You know, it can change everything. Your outlook, your living, your actions, your words, your very being. And that's an exciting thing. But in order to get there, you gotta start. You gotta make that start. That's my whole reason today for talking about unstuckness. How's that for a word? $2 word. I don't want any of you, I don't want myself to end up at the end of this life thinking, I never took Jesus up on that. I never had the time in my life, I never got involved in that. I never took up the challenge, I never took those next steps. You know, maybe there are a lot of things that can keep us stuck. Maybe it's fear. It's not easy to follow Jesus immediately. I can testify to that. You know, I'm one of those people that wants to look out at that horizon and kind of figure out what's next. It's risky business, isn't it? Say, okay, here we are. Here I am. Send me. But you don't know what's next. That's scary. If it's not fear or anxiety, maybe it's a feeling of grief or disappointment. There are certainly times when every single one of us may feel, you know, it's me again, God. I've done all the right things. I've tried to say the right things and do the right things. And somehow, I don't see your face here. I don't see you in the big mix of this chaotic stuff in my life. I don't see you here in Christian community, and you're letting me down. God, you're letting me down. Church, you're letting me down. You know, there are times when you have things that happen in your life that can just knock the breath out of you. When a loved one dies, when a job is lost, when a situation is negative at church, even health problems. You know, the cancer fairy, I'll tell you what, that'll disable you. And when you end up in those places, your life is not only on pause, it's changed the channel. You know, you find yourself just off on a tangent. How do you get back? How do you find that focus? And there are so many ways to get stuck, aren't there? You know, if it was easy, if I could just tell you, okay, this is how we get unstuck. Yay. You do A plus B plus C and you're unstuck. It doesn't work that way. Everybody is distinctive. Every life is different. Sometimes you have fear, grief, disappointment. Maybe this one's a little bit insidious. Oh, I've done my time. Been there, done that, have the T-shirt. It's time for somebody else to stand up and do whatever it is. Work with the youth, get involved in a mission project, help around the church, all of those kind of things. It's time for somebody else to step up and do the job. And maybe it is. Maybe you're at a point in your life where you need to channel your energies into different things. I have never refused prayer in my life. Pastor, I'll be praying for you. Oh my goodness. Does that energize you when you know somebody's out there on their knees for you? You know, But I think one of the most difficult blocks of all is kind of this sense of, and I see it with my kids all the time, you know, they get so much input, so much stuff going on, they don't answer their phone, they don't answer texts, and their mom is stamping their feet, text me back, you little fart, you know, those kind of things. Yeah, yeah. But it's just so much, all of the doing and the going and all of that kind of stuff, that they're stepping back. I'll get back to you. I'll get back to you on that. I wonder sometimes if that wasn't a little bit of what Jesus was doing when he would take those times, he realized, I'm stepping back from this, and in order to get my brain around all of this, I need time away, time in prayer, time to reconsider, time to look at your priorities. We all get there. And it can change in a New York minute. You can feel like, okay, I've got this all together. I've got my act together, and boom. It's like somebody pulls the rug out from under you. What do you need to do? That's the hard, hard work of answering the call in your life. Okay, I want to do this, but I have to have some time. I have to think this through. I have to get my head on straight. Have you heard that one? My grandmother was always, get your head screwed on straight. Okay. Before you can proceed, you have to kind of get ready, kind of take a big breath and then take that big step. I don't know about you, but when I'm preparing for a message, sometimes I try to put myself back in time. What was it like for the disciples? What were they doing? And what was it that allowed these men to just drop everything and go? I wonder, you know, they were out long, long hours. And, you know, their work had to be brutal. Just hard time in the sun. And I wonder if at some level they didn't really crave something deeper in their lives. You know, I think that's almost inbuilt into all of us. We want to know. We want to seek. We want to find those answers in our lives. And when Jesus came down to the docks that day, they were offered the opportunity of a lifetime. But they saw it. That's what amazes me. They picked up on it. Okay, it's now or never. Time to make this step in my life. I'm going to leave this old life. And I don't know maybe if they realized that their lives would just never, ever be the same. Maybe they didn't realize how much hard work it would be, how much sacrifice it would require. But I know that their lives were fuller and richer and more meaningful every day. And I don't think they ever had any regrets. And I can relate to that. That's why I'm up here. The last 30 years of my life, I can tell you, there's no regrets. Has it been easy? Oh, no. Has it been joyful? Well, yes, but not always. Have I found deeper meaning? Oh, yes. Will my life ever be the same? No. Maybe your life won't be the same because you had to listen to me. You think? You know, no regrets. I want you to think about this today. This is your homework. What opportunities is Jesus offering in your life? Because he offers every single day. That hand is out there 24/7, 365, all the time. Even in the middle of the biggest mess you ever thought that you'd have to deal with in your life, he is offering this relationship to you. He is calling you in some way. He is wanting to be in relationship with you. Do you know a single person in your acquaintance that doesn't long for peace, harmony, unconditional love? I gave it a lot of thought. I just don't know anybody who's in that place. And I really, honest to God, don't know a single Christian who doesn't long for the kingdom of God, the reign of God. doesn't in some way, kind of even in the back of their mind, know that the kingdom of God is at hand every single time we work to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We know that. But I think it's hard for us sometimes to remember that the time is at hand. The time is now. No more of this, oh, catch you later. No more of this, oh my goodness, I can't do this. You are being offered something miraculous. 24/7, the kingdom of God is at hand for you and it's at hand for me. And the only thing I have to tell you is, what on earth are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Get a move on.